today? Good. Good to see you all. Much better. You can tell me later what happened yesterday. Well, congrats to all the dads here. Happy Father's Day. Maybe you're a stepdad. Happy Father's Day to you, a spiritual dad, a father, a grandfather. Go well. Enjoy your day today as you celebrate. Well, we heard it mentioned about the perfect father. He's the perfect father here. Very good, very good, very good. You know, for some people, some people here are good dads, but we all want to be a better dad. You know, maybe some people here, you've struggled and you haven't known how to be a good dad, and maybe you've dropped the ball, you've had, you've just never understood that whole thing about fatherhood. And so this morning I'm just going to share about our Heavenly Father God, because He's the best one to learn from. And so I'm just going to share some things about God's attributes and about God's love to us. I know Andrew touched on it. And I had, my dad was a migrant from Italy, came out here to Australia, and was in his early 20s. He started work when he was 14. I didn't know this until I went to Italy and I talked to some of the rallies, and they would tell me about his hard work. He just worked hard, and he'd come home when it was dinner time. Bread was one of the main meals. Bread, olive oil, some olives, just stuff off the land. Things are really, really tough. And the mother would say, "You get more bread because you're the one that's going out to work and you're bringing the money home, you know." And so he would get an extra slice of bread. And so I learned from my dad, you know, hard work. He was a hard worker. But he was also, there's some things that from his parenthood, he never got from his dad. So there was never hugs in the family. He never got a hug. He never got told, "I love you," you know. When you got in trouble, he would bite his finger and he'd go, "God's going to punish you." So you kind of have this mentality that God is someone with a big rod ready to whack you, you know. And so so we ate well, we had clothes, we got an education, but it wasn't until probably when I was maybe in my 40s that we got closer, and we would kiss, because you kiss on the cheek, you know, on birthdays and things like that. But and when he passed away, I hugged him when he was in bed, you know, dying and all that. Told him we loved him and thanked him and all. And then when I was 19, when I come and I encountered the living God, Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, I just become like a bit of a emotional, it just, God touched me, and I would cry because I never experienced the love of Father God, never. And I come to see God the Father. We would sing songs about Father God, and those things about fathers, I would just cry, and God would just touch me with his love. And I began to understand fatherhood, and that I didn't have to be afraid of God the Father, because, you know, he was kind, he was gentle. Did I ever get told off by the Lord? Yeah, of course I did. I made some mistakes, and there's times I remember the Lord correcting me, you know, but not in a harsh way, in a gentle, loving, kind manner, you know. So can I have that image? I've got an image up there, which is supposed to be at the end. But I'm going to, oh, hang on. I'll show you. Do you want to look at my kids? These are my kids. Let's have a look at some photos of my children. Thank you very much. Good idea. Okay. That's my oldest son, my daughter in the middle, and my middle child at the very end there. Okay. We can scroll through those. That's later, and we took them to Italy for a holiday, and we're eating gelato. Where's that one, honey? Where was that last one? In the jungle somewhere, yep. That was that near the Swan River. That's my daughter, obviously my two boys. Yep, keep going. Any more? Is that it? That's one in London where my daughter lives now. That's all of us. And is that the last one? Okay, leave it there. I know that. Oh, you can leave it there. That's okay. All right. So there's my daughter-in-laws and my granddaughter and my two boys, my daughter and her and my son-in-law at the back. And the Lord has really, really blessed us, you know. And God just gave me a father's heart to love on my kids. Was I perfect? No, I was not perfect. Did I make mistakes? Yes, I did make mistakes. If I had my time again, would I do some things different? Yes, some things I would do differently, definitely. But overall, I was a good dad. My wife says I was an amazing father. But thank you, honey. Appreciate that. So I was a great dad. I've got beautiful kids. We talk. And now, who's a grandmother or grandfather here? Gee, isn't that amazing? That's another level again. That's like... And when people say it's because they go, oh, that's because you didn't have time to spend with your kids. No, that's rubbish. It's not. This is just something different. It's deeper. It's just a deep love. And it's a legacy that you have with your son. And then it extends out to your grandkid. And there is just something really special about being a granddad and having grandkids. It's beautiful. It is a wonderful, it's wonderful. And I think of that love that I have for my granddaughter and the love that I have for my children. Let me tell you, the love that God has for you is a lot greater than what I have for my kids and my granddaughter. They love them. God loves them more than what I could ever. 100%. And so, as I reach into my pocket... What have I got in here? What's that? $50. What's the value of that? $50. Okay, thank you. I'm not going to do a magic trick. If I screw that up, throw it on the ground, stomp on it, twist it all around, jump on it, what's the value of that now? Still $50. Regardless of what you've been through in life, you are still valuable and you are still made in the image of God. In the image of God, you've been created. And you are loved by God 100%. It's not like I've done this and I've done that, you know, God doesn't love me. No. No, that's not right. The Word of God says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and clean us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not a perfect Christian. Do I make mistakes? Yes. But I repent really quick. Once I didn't. In the early days when I first come to Christ, I thought, oh no, I've thought that bad thought, I've seen this and I've said this, and so I just kept quiet. And then I'm building up this guilt and shame until one day I was actually in the shower and this thought came to me about God wants to forgive you. And I had this freedom in my heart, so I was like, okay, Lord, forgive me. Just forgive me of this, whatever. And I sense this, God cleanse me again. And so that's sometimes we just got to keep doing that as we if you know you sin somewhere, or you probably, I know you're all perfect, not like me, so you don't have to. But so God is very loving, he's very kind. Of course, God doesn't want us to be a hypocrite. You know, I can go up to this person, I can steal off him, I can bash him, and then I can just go, Lord, forgive me. Like, come on, that's being disingenuous. That's being a hypocrite. That's being silly. Don't play with God with things like that. Don't do things like that, whatever you do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear God, you're a smart person. You're very, very wise. So fatherhood, it's really important that we understand our identity. Okay, understand who we are. You know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12, can I have that scripture up, please? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So that's not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, or maybe he gave the right. Maybe. Does it say it depends on? No. So if you've received the Lord in your life, and he's your Lord and he's your Savior, you are rightfully his child. There's no argument about that. Don't in your mind go, oh, but no. There's no argument. If you struggle with that, then this scripture here, you need to recite this every day. You need to meditate on God's word day and night till you get that. So it goes from here and it gets into your heart and it transforms you. Meditation on the word of God is very important, because that's what's going to transform your life. Because you want to know your living God. You want to know him. When the storms come and things start getting, you want to know, I'm a child of God. This ain't happened to me. And you can pray and you can stand against things and be who God has called you to be. So it's important to know your identity in our living God. Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's devoted ones, that you may declare the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Have they made a mistake there? But you are a chosen people. I'm being sarcastic, sorry. You are a chosen people. You've been chosen. You're chosen. You are. God just loves you. You're just so beautiful. You are. Faults and all. You are beautiful. God loves you. You are a royal priesthood. So God calls you into a kingdom authority with him. So what do you mean a priesthood? What do priests do? They offer prayers to God. In the old days, they would offer prayers on behalf of the people. But when Jesus came, he is now the mediator between God and man. So you have access to your heavenly Father. You personally, you have access to God the Father anytime you like. Not just when you come to church on a Sunday, I can sing now. This is the only place you have access to God the Father. No. This is important to be here, because the Lord loves when we all come together and we fellowship together, because he loves seeing his kids together, and because we're all on mission together. Yeah. And God's able to encourage us, impart his word to us. You know, and if we're struggling in areas, we can get prayer, we can talk to another, you know. So God says, don't miss out on assembling together. That's vital, that's important, that's part of his plan. So we have access to God anytime. Pastor Naomi this morning, when she prayed, come boldly to God's throne so you may obtain mercy and help in time of need. God's word says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be condemned. When someone curses you, says you're a beep, 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 and you're gonna amount to nothing, that's a lie. You don't accept that. You just got to pray. Say, Lord, we just pray against this negativity. We pray against what's been spoken over my life. That is not going to happen. People, I had my aunties used to say to me, Charlie, you're going to end up in jail. And I would hear them talking to their kids. Don't hang around with him. He's going to lead you astray and you're going to end up in, you know. So no, I didn't end up in jail. Okay, never did. No, you're welcome. So we want to put our trust in the living God and what he says about us in his word. It's very important to... You're welcome. Thanks for coming. Father, bless them. Watch over them. Protect them in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Better to come to God's house. And if you've got to go, you've got to go. We bless them. Lord, protect them. We don't know what's happened. Watch over them. Okay, so... where was I? Yeah, that's right. I'm here. I'm free. So we want to put our trust in God, in his... Because as we trust God, as we get to know his heart, that flows out of us and to our children and their children's children. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, have you got that there? 29:11. Oh, here we go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. So if you're a bit unsure, just continue to trust God because he knows the plans that he has for you. Put your trust in him. Put your future in. Trust God with your future. Because he says, for I know the plans that I have for you. You might not know, but he does. Wherever you're at work now, just keep doing the best that you're doing. Whether you're a hairdresser, whether you're a school teacher, whatever you're doing, be the best at that. Do your best. If you're at school and you're studying, do your best. Do your homework. Do well. Because if you don't, later on you'll regret it. Trust me. So God wants us to be secure in him. So there's our security for I know. So we go, okay, Lord, you know the plans that you have for me. Okay, I'm going to trust you with that. I've had many times I've been in a work situation and it hasn't been healthy. And I've wanted to jump. I wanted to get out. And the God's, wait. And I just had to bide my time, wait. And I went and tried to open doors, but doors kept shutting. I tried that. And then when God opens a door, he opens not just a door, but he opens a window. So if you're in something at the moment, if it's really bad, like there's abuse and stuff going on, and you've got to leave. Okay, but you know what I'm saying? There's times when you've got to just stay on the train and don't jump. So 29 verse 11. Isaiah 43 in verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames would not set you ablaze. In Hebrews, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've seen many people, because I work in the community, and I'm a chaplain with the football club as well. And so I've seen many deaths. I mean, I've seen many people sick. I've seen Christians. And generally, 97% of the time, the Christians are the most hopeful, and the Lord is with them to the end. Everyone that I know that's a Christian that has died, and I've been a part of that, I've never seen any of them be disappointed. I've never seen any of them cry in agony or fear or never. Never. I got called once to a hospital, a neighbour of ours who was dying, and my mother rang me actually and says, can you please go and see her? She's on the way out. So I went to visit her, and I'm praying as I'm walking into the hospital. And I felt the Lord say to me that she was going to give her heart to Christ. So I walk in there, and she's in the bed, and I see her, and I could see in her eyes fear. I could see this fear, this just afraid. So Mrs. LaFacci, that was her surname, I would talk to her and ask if she would like to receive Christ. And yes. And I prayed with her, led her to Christ. And the glow upon her face, her countenance just changed. There was this beautiful peace. I can't remember how many days after that she went. She went to be with the Lord. When God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he means that. Young Noctula, who is Pastor Unami and Pastor Stephen's daughter, she's our worship leader for Kwinana and, well, sometimes down here, but for Fremantle. And she's had that fracture, and poor girl. She has suffered. She's gone through tribulation, you know. And yet she's got such a sweet spirit. This morning she's leading in worship, and she was just amazing. God is with her. The Lord has not left her nor forsaken her. She's so grateful. She is so thankful to the Lord with her life. She's so thankful for her mother and her father. She's going through that tribulation, and only the Lord knows what he's doing. He's obviously showing her things, and through her heart, God is developing a beautiful, beautiful young woman. When you go through the fiery trial, what happens at the end? You come out as what? Gold. Very true. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. I encourage all men to put this in your phone. Meditate on this. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 is, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The word of God is so important to get into our hearts, to get into our lives. So it's important to have identity, okay? Security, affirmation. Now, it's important as a father to affirm to your children, boys and girls, that you love them, that you care for them, that you are there for them, that their security, that they can be safe with you. Security that they know their history, where you're from, who your family is, but also security in who your living God is, who you are in your identity in your living God also, of course. All these points are, it's God giving us identity, our security in God, God affirming who we are, God affirming to us continually that he loves us and cares for us. Can I have the picture of the painting, please? That one there, but without the writing. God affirming. Look with the prodigal son who left the household. This is a, that story is a picture of the father heart of God. God saw him leave in the distance with his inheritance. But what did our Father God do every day? What did his father do? He's standing, watching at the gate, waiting. I'll use it in today's terms. He kind of knew when the bus was coming. And he'd see the bus come down the road. All the dust in the background, the bus stops. Oh, that's the neighbor's kid. Or bus takes off. Again the next day, bus didn't even stop. Watching out, looking out, waiting, hoping for the return of his boy. And when he came home, what happened? Imagine the day the bus stops, kid gets out, he's probably 28. The father knew it was him because he knew his walk, he knew the way he walks. That's my boy. The father didn't wait at the end of the driver going, "I told you so. I told you. When you left here, they ain't ever come back." No. The father went out and greeted him, met him, ran. What does the Lord do with the lost sheep? He goes looking for him and brings them back. Our father heart of God is so kind and he's so beautiful. He greeted and hugged and they celebrated. That's the father heart of our living God. And as fathers today, we want to have that father heart to our children. We want to be, whether you're a mother or you're a father, we want to be people that hug our kids. If you're a spiritual father, you're a grandfather, you're a stepfather, hug your kids. Kids, if you're here today and you can hear me, hug your mum and dad. Hug them. You might go, look, in our culture, my mum, but in the Jesus culture, in the kingdom of heaven, God is for that hugging, greeting, hugging. That artwork there, the artist is Charlie McAtee. He's a British artist. Did I pronounce that right? McAtee. Charlie McAtee. He's a British artist, illustrator, and the author of The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse, which won an Academy Award this year for the best short film. He used to be an atheist, and he is now, many years ago, he came to Christ. And so he got really moved by God. He had all this artwork in his house. And a surveyor came to his home because they were doing work on his house and they was coming to, write things down. And he saw the artwork and he approached, while he's in the house, it moved him so much that he went downstairs and he said to, let me read it. McAtee's account of a surveyor stopping by his home and spotting his painting of the prodigal son on the wall. And the surveyor being so moved that he left the job early to go home and hug his own 9-year-old son, whom he had never hugged. Wow. It just spoke to him. I've never hugged my son, 9 years of age. That's it, I'm going home to find him. And I'm going to hug him. Every son and every daughter needs affirmation. needs our love. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. May the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with superabundance until you radiate with hope. We have God's Holy Spirit to help us and to fill us with his joy, his peace, and his hope. Romans 8, verse 15 and 16. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. You are God's beloved child. You are God's beloved child. Jenna Brusher Hager, she's a TV presenter on one of the TV shows. She's an anchor woman in America on one of the late shows, and she was thrilled when they offered her the position of being an anchor. She's a lovely lady. She's got one daughter. She might have another one. She's married. All her friends, her colleagues were so thrilled about her promotion and getting this role. It was something that she'd always wanted, and she was just so excited. But one of the biggest moving things that made her cry, had tears running down her eyes, was a message from her father. And it was three words. Very proud of you. And sometimes our kids need to hear that. Not sometimes, more often than not. There's a lot of anxiety in today's age with our young people. And those of us that have young kids, it is just so important that you might be a single mum. You can successfully raise your children, of course. Encourage, bless your children. Because they don't know who's got their back. They don't know who is going to be there standing in for them. And they need our love. They need our reassurance. Maybe you have a family member whose dad is not around, and there's the kids. It's a great opportunity to step in and be a spiritual father. The scripture even talks about there's lots of guardians, there's lots of this in church. But we're lacking fathers. There's a lack of fathers. You could father someone who's 40 years of age. You might be 50. Could be someone older. Could be someone really young. Maybe for mums, if you're struggling with some areas, maybe talk to somebody. See if someone can help mentor one or two of your children, or three. It's okay. You can do that.